Father, Lord, thank you for a time like this. Thank you for insight. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for how you've been teaching us your word in time past, and yet you're teaching us your word today. Father, as we look into your word today, we receive revelation, fresh revelation anew, that is found in the written word. And I view Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in himself. He's glorified and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we started off last week on the teaching, understanding the gospel. And then this will be the fourth series, or the fourth, the series four. And we heard of last week. Let's open our Bible to Matthew 28. In this particular series, which we started 2018, yes, it's a journey towards how we study the Old Testament books in the light of the gospel, right? So, what we've been able to do within the other series is how to read scriptures correctly. How to read it correctly, how to interpret scriptures. Hallelujah. So we'll continue on it, and we'll keep getting better as we study together. Hallelujah. Matthew 28, from verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All power," that's the word authority, "is given to me in heaven and in the earth." He said, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." He said, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Mark 16, verses 15. And he said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." That says, "This sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover." So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we said, a what word which we must always see as the instruction of the believer is the word to go. Go therefore. You know, it's repeated both in Matthew and in Mark. Hallelujah. To go therefore. Hallelujah. Go therefore. And it says that word shows or is the believer's everyday instruction. The believer's everyday instruction. Go forth. Go forth. Hallelujah. That word shows an action, a deliberate action. Go therefore. So the task is deliberate, as the action, it should be deliberate. Hallelujah. It is deliberate instruction. Glory to God. So it shows the believer is the man on God's mission. The believer is the man, or is a man of God's mission. And it's very vital. you know, I was sharing this with some brethren some days back, and I said, in Christianity, we don't have different missions. No. We all have the same mission. Hallelujah. The mission of the world. Go to God. Are you following me? We have the same mission. We have the same purpose in the earth. We don't have different people, different purposes. No, we have the same purpose. Hallelujah. So, the purpose is in the nations of the world. Most of the things, I mean, what there is that we cannot have specific as unto what to do part-time. But the purpose is the same. Hallelujah. The same purpose. The same task. Hallelujah. The same purpose, the same task. Hallelujah. So the task of the believer is that of a man on a mission. Go to God. That of a man on a mission. So, where will be the mission field? The mission field will be the missions of the world. They go into all the world. Go into the nations. So the nations will be the mission field. The nations will be where the facts will be carried. You know, Numbers 14:21. It says, the whole earth will be filled with His glory. The whole earth. That is the watchword. The whole earth will be filled with His glory. Hallelujah. The whole earth. Psalm 72 verse 19. The whole earth. The whole earth. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So you see, is the earth that is the mission field. Hope you are listening to me. The earth is the mission field. So very important. Hallelujah. So when Jesus was giving this instruction, we said he wasn't coining his own words. No. He wasn't coining his own words. No. We said these are the words of the scripture, right? Jesus' words are words from scriptures. Hallelujah. They are explanation of scriptures. We've seen that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, since we said Matthew 28:18, Mark 16:15 are instructions Jesus gave within the 40 days, it therefore implies that these instructions will be instructions of the scriptures put together. There will be instructions of the scriptures put together. Hallelujah. There will be instructions of the 39 books, Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. There will be instructions of the 39 books, Genesis to Malachi. And in that instructions, we also find what the response of man should be. That is what Jesus is reading for when he says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Did you see that? So that means we will find the response of man, or what the response of man should be in that instruction. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Luke makes us see that. In Luke 24:46. Look at how Luke would put it. Luke 24:46. Luke said, we looked at some of these things last week. The thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. He said, thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among the nations beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. Here is what Jesus is saying. He said, thus it is written, and thus it beholds Christ. So that means what Jesus is saying is the instructions are instructions of the scriptures. When you use the word written, it's the word grapho. Grapho is a word which is used for what you write. Hallelujah. For what is written. It is used for scriptures. It is used for the writing of Moses. Grapho. In John 5:46, we saw this last week. He said, if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote. That is the word grapho. Did you see that? For he wrote concerning me. Hope you are listening to me. Hallelujah. For he wrote concerning me. So, that word will be used for Moses' writing. Hallelujah. He has another word, graphe. The same. Graphe. Graphe is used for scriptures. In 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture. That is the word graphe. Hallelujah. Past graphe. Hallelujah. Okay, listen to me. All scriptures is given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Very important. Hallelujah. So it's for scriptures. In John chapter 5 verse 39, it says, you search the scriptures, referring to Genesis down to Deuteronomy, but by extension to Malachi. I hope you are listening to me. Glory to God. In Romans 15:4, it says, things which are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of scriptures. You see that? So when you use the word things that are, Paul uses both words, grapho and graphe. He says the things which were written aforetime, written grapho, were written for our learning. He said that we through the patience and comfort of scriptures, graphe. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So he replied, so what was written aforetime? The things written in scriptures. So grapho, graphe, as I use for scriptures. Hope you're following me. So when Jesus now says, thus it beholds Christ. I mean, thus it is written and thus it beholds Christ. So when he says thus it is written, what would be, where will it be written? It will be written in scriptures. Verses 44, he said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written. Did you see that? Which were written in the law of Moses, grapho, again, the same word grapho, in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Did you see that? Which were written concerning me. And thus it is written and thus it beholds the Christ. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. So it will be the scriptures. So what Jesus is saying is the instructions I'm giving you are instructions of the scriptures. Hope you are following me. Are instructions of the scriptures. So when you see that repentance and remission of sin be preached in the name among the nations are instructions from the scriptures. Now, when he reads that, it's not reading a particular verse or a particular book or a particular author. No. It's telling this will be the, you'll find this instruction as instructions of the scriptures when read together. Hope you are following me. When read together, you'll find it as instructions. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Very important. So, that means I would go, if I get to the 39 books and read them together, I would find out, or I would find instructions about the gospel and our response. Right? We'll find instructions of concerning the gospel and what our response should be like. Glory to God. In Galatians 3 verse 6. Galatians 3 verse 6. Look at what it says. It says, even as Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. That's actually Genesis chapter 15 verse 6. It says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith are same, are the children of Abraham. This is for, and scripture, for seeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Shall all the nations be blessed. Glory to God. Glory to God. In verse 8 it says, the scripture foreseen that God will justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham. And when he says that,
he's reading what Paul has done. Paul reads Genesis 12, 3 into 15. Hallelujah. And it shows you that what was communicated to Abraham was the gospel. Don't be afraid of this.
Was the gospel. And his response was what? In verse 6, the response will be, and Abraham believed God. Did you see that? Abraham believed God. Very important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That word to believe is the word that is called faith.
Faith. Pestis. Pestio.
In the Greek. Hallelujah. Pestis. Pestio. P-I-S-T-I-S-T-I-S-T-E-O. Hallelujah. It's from the Hebrew word aman. 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 It's used to show confidence in a person or in a process. Say, and Abraham believed God. You know, I love what E.W. Kenyon will call it. It says an unqualified committal.
Hallelujah.
Confidence in a person or a process. Now it says Abraham believed God. That is, Abraham had confidence in God's process, had confidence in God's word.
Did you see that? In God's faithfulness. It's something we'll look at in years to come.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Abraham had confidence in what God is going to do. Hallelujah. So, Abraham believed in God's redemption. Is that it? In God's redemption. So, last time we saw that unbelief is the hardness of heart. That was last week. We saw that unbelief is the hardness of heart.
It is used in relation to the preaching of the gospel. Hardness of heart is used in relation to the preaching of the gospel. Is that Greek word scleroneo? Scleroneo. Hallelujah.
Scleroneo. The rest of Hebrews we use it for unbelief. Hebrews chapter 4. Harden not your heart. Hebrews 3:15. As in the day of provocation. You see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that would be unbelief. Therefore, they are leaving Egypt. Therefore, they are leaving Egypt or bondage is a sign of God's redemption spoken to them. Hallelujah. They are leaving Egypt. They are leaving Egypt. Or whenever they leave, they go into captivity and they're leaving that captivity. It's always a miracle of God's redemption. It's a sign of God's redemption. Hallelujah. I told us in church last week, I told us that whenever you see that movement out of Egypt, right? Out of Egypt, an underlining factor is a fact of the gospel. I told us that, right? Hallelujah. That is a fact of the gospel. Whenever they leave captivity, it will always be a remembrance of what God will do in the redemption. Hallelujah. He will lead them out of captivity. Hallelujah. He will lead man out of bondage, out of darkness into light. Did you see that? So that whenever they leave captivity is always a miracle of what God will do in the redemption. So it's a pointer to them, this is what God will do in the redemption. Man will be delivered from darkness to light. Hope you are following me. It will be the same thing. That's deliverance. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. So every time they came out of Egypt, it's a sign of God's redemption. That's what I said. Glory to God. The sign of God's redemption. I explained something to them that Moses getting to meet Pharaoh. He didn't meet Pharaoh and say, as a national leader, and say, we are a political party of Israel in bondage, and we have come to solicit our rights. Let us go. You see? Yes, Moses was still then a national leader,
He has to lead them nationally as a nation, but at the same time, he is first a prophet. Not the apologist. He's first a prophet.
He's first a preacher of the gospel.
Glory to God.
So that means, inasmuch as he is going there to deliver God's message or to tell Pharaoh to let his people go, but he would have to do that via the preaching of the gospel. So the leaving Egypt will be a sign of it. Hope you're following me. Leaving Egypt will not be a sign of God's promise, because what God gave to him to go to Egypt with is, when I'm asked, who sent me? Say the God of the Israelites. Did you see that? So that means you have to explain to Pharaoh who the God of the Israelites is. Pharaoh has several countless numbers of gods. So you have to explain who the God of the Israelites is. Hallelujah. Let my people go so they would worship me. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Something else I need to show you is Exodus 4. Exodus 4. Another instruction, we have to go to Egypt with. Go to God. Hallelujah. Exodus 4, verses 21. It said, and the Lord said to Moses, when thou returnest to Egypt. Exodus 4, 21. So when thou returnest to Egypt, see that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Which I have put in thy hand. But his heart will be hardened, right? Not I will harden his heart, but his heart will be hardened, that he will not let the people go. But thou shalt say to Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. It says, and I say to thee, let my son go, that they may serve me. Do you see that? That they may serve me. So, Moses is meeting, Pharaoh, and is telling them about the worship of Yahweh. Hallelujah! He's telling Pharaoh about the God of the Israelites and his worship. Hallelujah! Glory to God. In addition, you have him in chapter 6, you see he's talking also about the redemption. Hallelujah. So the redemption will not be national redemption, but rather the national redemption, the coming out of Israel will be a sign of God's redemption. I hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So what will he tell him about God's redemption? I am that I am. Is that? God will become a man and he will redeem man. He will teach Pharaoh about what? The heavens and the earth. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So what would be the sign of it? Let the children of Israel go. That would be a sign of it. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And in that sign, because of that sign, will come multiples of signs. Miracles, signs and wonders in the day was done in the land of Egypt. Glory to God. Glory to God. Very important. So, part of the issues that later readers of Moses will now have, or interpreters will now have, not within the context of the 39 books now, but after that, hallelujah, after that, will be that many of them will now see that redemption, God's redemption, as a national redemption. Because, hallelujah, they have seen over time within their history that whenever they go into captivity, what will happen? There's always a deliverer. Right? God will always deliver them, either through the hands of the prophet or something else like that. Hallelujah. Majorly through the hands of prophets. So now they were in the Roman, permit how I will call it, because someone has comforted them, it was a Roman captivity, but they were in the Roman captivity. The person was trying to prove it to me that in every captivity they take them out, that is captivity, but this time
when Rome was in charge, when Rome was the world power, they remained in Israel. But yet they were, I told the person that, but they were yet in captivity. Hallelujah. He said, no, they were in their land. What, how others live, let them out. I said, okay, no problem. Hallelujah. As long as the people, the person leading them, was not from Israel, right? Hallelujah. The king was an Israelite. The king was an Edomite, which is Herod. Hallelujah. And they had Caesar, a world power. Ah. This is not just captivity. This is slavery. Hallelujah. That is slavery. Glory to God. Well, or colonization. That was where he was driving us to. Hallelujah. But no matter what it is. So, but as a nation, they were waiting for a who? They were waiting for a Messiah. A national leader that they always had. Hope you're following me. Now remember, they asked John the same question. Are you the Messiah? Did you see that? The same question was asked to John. Why would they ask John that? Because they have read from history that whenever they are in such crisis as a nation, God always raised up who? A prophet. So they ask, are you? Did you see that? They asked that to John. Because they were expecting a national redeemer. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Luke 24, even Jesus' disciples. In Luke 24:21, let's look at that. Even Jesus' disciples. Luke 24:21. Okay, let's start from verse 19. Jesus asked. Jesus said to them, what things? Because Jesus met them and said, what discussion do you have, Isaiah, concerning this, concerning Jesus? He said, are you new in Jerusalem? I don't know the things that happened. That is verse 18. Verse 19, Jesus said, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed, and what before God and all the people. Hope you are following me. Before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted. Did you see that? We trusted that we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Or were done. Did you see that? We trusted that he would have been the one who would redeem Israel. Watch that word. They were looking for a national redeemer. Hallelujah. But what did Jesus reply them in verse 25? He says, oh fools and slow to heart to believe. That is unbelief. So that means, what Jesus is telling them is that, no, that is not work, that is not the work of the redeemer, of the Christ. Did you see that? So, from scripture, he's correcting them. He's correcting them. He said, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. Did you see that? So he began to teach them again from Genesis. From Genesis. Showing them specifics about what the Christ would do. He would die and he would resurrect. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you have to do a I like to put it this way. It's what we call like a bias study. Hallelujah. He picked scriptures to explain concerning these things. So, two things to look out for. Yeah. Jesus is telling them that the national redemption which they have had in mind based on history, will be a sign of the main thing. Hallelujah. Because the Christ would redeem man, not a national redemption. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So he calls it unbelief. Unbelief. Now when he was done teaching them, this time he was done teaching them, they believed the gospel. Hallelujah. Concerning the kingdom of God. Something I hope we'll get to today. Get through to today. Now look at Acts 1 verse 3. I mean verse 6.
Let me start from verse 3. It says, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion, for by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It's something we're going to see. It's another word. It's a shorthand for the word gospel.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. As a word for gospel. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, verse 6. He said, and, you know, he gave them instruction in verse 5 and verse 6. He says, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, without at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So after he was done teaching them the kingdom of God, they saw him as the Messiah to redeem man from darkness, right? But they still failed. You should also give us the Jara. Hallelujah.
They still wanted to see that national redeemer in me. Glory to God. That national leader.
No. Glory to God. He said no. What was his response? He says, it is not for you. Hallelujah. It's not yours. That is no. Jesus' response to them was no. That's not the task of the Messiah. It's not the national leader. The national redemption was a pointer to the main redemption. Hallelujah. So all the while they had national redemption in their history, they never had the main redemption, but was a pointer to that main redemption. Glory to God. Hope you follow me. Glory, hallelujah. So, because of this, Jesus had to do, in verse 4:27, it says, look at the way Luke will put it. Luke said, and beginning as Moses, because of unbelief, because of what he said, he had to begin as Moses and all the prophets. He expounded. That is the word that I made you. Jesus had to teach them. Hallelujah. In fact, in verse 45, Luke will put it like this. He says, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend, sunyemi, comprehend the scripture, sunyemi. That is to bring facts and events together from different points at different, to bring things from different places or different points together. Hallelujah. So what Jesus has done is that he brought events, brought facts together. Hallelujah. Events of the 39 books with what has happened together. Hallelujah. That they might comprehend, read scriptures together. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Now they cannot reason through scriptures together. That's the word, to reason through scriptures together. They cannot look at it all through together. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we will take them through scriptures because of that unbelief. Look at how Mark will put it. Mark 16 verse 14. After he appeared to the 11, that should be Luke 24, 44. Right? Right? He appeared to the 11. Luke 24, 44 is actually not 44, but from 36. Hallelujah. So he appeared to the 11. And they sat at meat. And he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. You see? So, because of unbelief. So, Mark made us see that it was not just Thomas that was unbelieving. All of them were unbelieving. Did you see that? And he upbraided them. Glory to God. Now, when he uses the word to upbraid them, it's the same thing that Luke will put as he expounded sunyemi, that is, he upbraided their means, he taught them. Hallelujah. That word upbraid is a word that you have to read again in context. Hallelujah. We're not going to look at it today, but it's a word you have to read again in context. How it is used. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Which the book of Acts said he taught them for 40 days. So, what Jesus did in Luke 24, verse 27 and 45, was what Luke would call, sinemi, damenio. Damenio means, so he explained words.
He explained language.
Hallelujah. Shinyami will mean he will now look at what Jesus did, and that is the task of the believer today. Now,
in as much as in the top 9 book, I did that
in the section, right? I'm coming. Okay, I guess I did. Now, in as much as
the space of time I can be proved wrong between between Genesis and Malachi is about 2,000 plus years.
Hallelujah.
2,000 plus years.
Now, I need you to listen to me. Now, within that time too, they had it's the same Hebrew that they spoke, right? They spoke Hebrew. Okay, let me put it like this.
I don't want to miss the word.
But, okay, they spoke Hebrew. Now, in order that they spoke Hebrew, they had different how should I put it? Evolving. That same Hebrew that they spoke evolved at different points in time. In fact, history happens. I'm trying to remember the name, but I really can't put my head around it today. But history happens that anytime they are taken into captivity, the moment they are leaving captivity, there is actually a change in their language. Because when they go into captivity, they learn other languages.
You understand me?
They learn other languages, and it also the other languages, other culture, other mode of life. And that in itself affects their language. So they had language evolved at different points. So what Jesus did when he said, watch the use of the two words, Dameneo and Shinemi. Shinemi means he brought events from different points, events, words at different points together for them with the event of his resurrection. So he brought everything together that they would now see through the scriptures and read it into the resurrection. Hallelujah. Or into the four gospels, into the synoptics and the four gospels. Glory to God. Now, something else is when you put Shinemi and Dameneo side by side, you discover what Jesus has done. What has he done? He has gone through them. Now, he has actually crossed every language barrier within the top 9 books. Let me call it a world. Within that world of the top 9 books. And then, now brought it also into his world. Because there's also a major barrier from the Hebrew to the Greek. Okay, let's listen to me. From the Hebrew to the Greek. Now, it is believed that Greek began to become dominant from the days of Daniel. Hope you're following me. From the days of Daniel. Hope you understand that. So, Jesus had to cross that language barrier within, even in his own world, first of all. In the world of the Tatlan book, now crosses into his world where the Greek is now dominant. Though dominant, we also see had a minor push for the Romans, which is the Latin, the speaking of Latin, was already coming in. Aramaic. Aramaic is a bastardized Hebrew to Greek. Like what we call Batakula. Hope you are following me. So they were all in both. So Jesus had to cross different walls, different barriers together. Hallelujah. So Jesus would deal with language. He would deal with events. Hallelujah. And events of his day. What would Jesus have that he's reading with? He's reading from the original Hebrew text. The Hebrew text. Hope you are following me. You also have the Septuagint. The Septuagint will be
the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, of the Hebrew scriptures. Hope you are following me. So they have it in their word. The same way we have the English translation of the Greek and Hebrew Bible. So that is called the Septuagint translation. Hallelujah. The Septuagint is an interpretation. So Jesus had that with him too. The Septuagint preceded Jesus. Hope you are following me. It preceded Jesus. So that means, listen, if the Septuagint preceded Jesus, it then means that Greek preceded Jesus.
Amen. Because there's just this little thing in our head that it was in the days of Jesus that Greek started. No.
Greek started way before that.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hope you're following me. Glory to God.
Way before that. In fact, that was about, it's about 482, I don't believe that, but over 400 years before Christ. That's when
the Greek language became, began to gain dominance in the world. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, Jesus will have to cross the language barriers. In order for him to interpret. Because
when you get to scriptures, the believer's first point is to interpret rightly.
And I must know as a believer that interpretation precedes application. I spoke about this a whole lot last week, right? Interpretation precedes application. A wrong interpretation will lead to a wrong application. When you interpret wrongly, it will lead to wrong application. The wrong interpretation will lead to wrong worship. Hallelujah. And we said that the epistles are applications, right? Hallelujah. They are applications. And from that application, which we find in the epistles, we can now know the interpretations. Very important. Hallelujah. So when you say the epistles are explanations, you are not wrong. Hallelujah. You're not wrong. Glory to God, because from those applications we know what the interpretations are. Glory to God. So what does interpreting scriptures help us see? In interpretation, we need to find out what was in the mind of the writer when they wrote. Very important. What was in Moses' mind when he was writing serpents? When he was writing the tree of life? What was in his mind? If I don't know what was in his mind when he wrote, I would not know what he's writing concerning. Oh, you are following me. Hallelujah. And the people will shout, it's all about Jesus. Yes, it's all about Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Come and check this thing. So, in doing that, I must pay attention to details. See, a Bible student must not be one who just glance. You can't know God by glance reading your Bible. No. Hallelujah. You can't know God by glance reading your Bible. So the first thing there is in knowing what was in the mind of the interpreter when he wrote, because we can't reach them now. If we could reach out to Moses, we say, Moses, what were you writing, right? Well, we say, oh, you know what, I've changed. But no problem, let me just tell you in your world. Did you get it? You will know what was in his mind. But he's not here. He's not on the scene. So we are left with that responsibility. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So the first point is to know who is the audience. Who are the audience?
Because the writers have an immediate audience. An immediate audience that is not me. That is not you. They had an immediate audience.
So they will employ words and write in the language their audience will understand.
Do you understand this? Employ words and write in the language their audience will understand.
So therefore, I must pay attention to this.
I must pay attention to this.
Or something in the reply that will write words at the audience. Yeah. See, you must also know that these writers are human beings. They are human beings. So, because they are human beings, within the context of their writings, within the context of their writings, I must investigate how they use words. Are you following me? Within the context of their writings, I must investigate how they use words.
For example, Moses will use the word visiting, pakar, for what? We use the word pakar for visiting the iniquity of the father, for forgiveness, God's loving kindness. Are you following me? God's loving kindness.
But when I get to Isaiah, I was told Isaiah using the word visiting,
he will use it for judgment. You see that? For warfare. So within the context of the writer, I want to know how they use words. And the way they will use words will be what was inherent to their world at that time. Hope you're following me.
Hope you're following me. Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How I have this in my notes. How they will use words will be based on their audience. Like for example, there's a word people find, I have heard people argue. They say God wrote Bible. Say God was the one that wrote. I say how? So someone said,
then what is the finger of God?
But before that, I wrote in my book, God did not write any book, rather he inspired. You know that he inspired men to write. But the question is, how can I tell you God didn't write anything in scriptures? Someone said, but the Ten Commandments was God that wrote it. I said, how? He said, Moses said the finger of God wrote it. Let's look at that word. Finger of God. Let's see where they read from. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31 verse 18. Amen. Amen.
You know, sometimes you hear some people's assumptions. What they believe on scripture. You ask yourself, are you people reading what I'm reading? You ask yourself that, do you people read what I read? For example, some two days back
in the office, someone was saying something about Jesus being the Son of God. And I said, wow, yeah, Jesus is the Son of God. So I'm trying to just wrap my head around, I'm trying to remember that. So he said, she was saying something that, okay,
someone was so to pray, and then he said something.
So she now responded, regarding Jesus being the Son of God. Not to see, Jesus being the Son of God has got nothing to do with the virgin birth. And then the fact that that he's the Son of God because Mary gave birth to him. No. I don't know. I said he has been the Son of God from the beginning of time. Hallelujah. I said, he said, no. He's the Son of God because Mary is the mother, God is the father.
I don't know.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
No.
I ask, so who is now the mother to Israel?
Israel is the son of God.
But you know, one thing I now discovered is that I couldn't even go further to explain. You know why? She's not my audience. Always learn to know who your audience is. My audience is not looking for.
I can't explain
because it will only lead to arguments. Hallelujah. There's one thing I run away from. It's arguing with anybody. Hallelujah. Forward. Amen. What did your pastor teach you? My pastor taught me that if I don't take Holy Communion, I'm a sinner. I say, stay with your pastor. Adi? Very important. Hallelujah. Stay with your pastor. Now, what do you think? I'm thinking the same thing your pastor is thinking. Don't be found instigating people to become rivals in their local churches. I hope you are hearing this. Because the only thing you will do at that point is ask somebody that, what do you think? All I'm thinking is what your pastor has taught you. Hallelujah. What do you want me to think again? Because you know that person is not coming to learn. That person is just trying to model of what? Argument. Something to argue. Something to go and fight. No. Don't make people unruly in their local church. Hallelujah. I hope you're following me. Glory to God. Just be wise about it. Someone had asked me before, sir, what do you think about someone speaking about marriage? In marriage, the person was saying some things about marriage and how a wife should bring all her salary to the husband and things like that. And I say, sir, what do you think? I say, what do I think? How? The woman is talking to a congregation. Am I in a congregation or is a congregation me? No, now. Let us just talk to our congregation. I say, okay, you, what will you now, as our pastor, eh? What are you now advising us to do? These were ladies. I say, I'm not your pastor. We are friends. Let's clear it well. Do you understand? I'm not your pastor. We are your friends and colleagues. You know, you must learn to know where people are. Before they will model you to say something and then tomorrow they will say it on social media. This is what he said. Hey, will not use you to go and learn how to counter another minister. Hey, a pastor in my office said, no. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You must always, as a teacher, as a Bible student, you must always know when people are ready to learn. You will know. Hallelujah. And how? A serious student, you will know by his question or her question. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let's continue. So we are in Exodus 31:18. He says, and he gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stones, written with the finger of God. Yeah, it was God that wrote it. No. Hallelujah. Most times, some of us say, many, is it the hand of God wrote on the word, many take it on passage. It's God. Hallelujah. You have to read well. Hallelujah. Hope you follow it. Hallelujah. So the question is, did God write on the tables of stones? Let's investigate how the writer uses the word finger of God. Because it's not the only time the writer is using the word finger of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For example, in Exodus 8, verses 16 to 19. Verses 16 to 19. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become light throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with the rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became light in man and in beast, and all the dust of the land became light throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantment to bring forth light, but they could not. So they relied upon men and upon beasts. And the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God.
So did God write, carry,
did you see that? The magician said, this is what? The finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So the concept of finger of God here is this for miracles, to show it is of God.
Did you see that? Is of God. Miracle is of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. We also find Exodus 31 that we just read. We'll find it also in Deuteronomy 9 verse 10. But let's look at how Jesus will use it in Luke 11, 20. Jesus. Now they accused him of casting out demons by Beelzebul. Hallelujah. Through Beelzebul. Verse 19. It says, if I, by Beelzebul, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judge. But if with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Did you see that? It's used for miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is of God? So we can say the phrase, finger of God, is a figure of speech. You see that? It's a figure of speech to refer to that which is done by God, or to refer to a miracle rather. To refer to a miracle inspired by God. So that means what happened on Mount Sinai was a miracle, what God inspired. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. What God inspired. So Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, he says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Inspiration of God. Now inspiration of God there is the word theonistos in the Greek. Theonistos. From a compound word theo and sinew. Theos and sinew. Theos is used for God, and next word is sinew. Used for to blow or a breeze. The way you call breeze. So it says scripture is given like, and is used for you can put it as scriptures are given by the breath of God. Something like that. The breath of God. So when you have breath of God, in that word Theonistos, the breath of God is used for what is what inspired or an inspiration. You understand? So the inspire of God means God inspired it. And how God inspired it? Through men. Look at how Peter will put it in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. Verse 21. Look at how Peter will put it in 2 Peter 1, 21. Are you with me? Verse 21. It says, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man. Prophecy that will be what? What is written, right? Scriptures, right? Now it says, prophecy was not, came not in by old time by the will of man, but holy men. You see that? Spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see that? They were moved by the Holy Ghost. So moved by the Holy Ghost will imply they were inspired to write. They were inspired to speak. Hallelujah. And that, when you talk about God's inspiration, Pastor Shego will say, God does not bypass the minds of men when they wrote. God will not bypass. God will not bypass men's minds. No. Hallelujah. So Moses in his day will not be writing of things he doesn't know. Moses will write of what he knows. He will use languages that he knows. Moses will not know anything called email. Hallelujah. Moses will not know anything called data.
how? In his world. There was nothing like that. Hallelujah. God sees ahead. God made Moses write that a how. John wrote helicopter. How? How would he have written it?
I hope you're following me.
How would he have written it? God doesn't bypass people's mind. Let me put it this way. God doesn't bypass people's brains.
I hope you're following me.
And that is why when it comes to the living of the Spirit, God uses known voices. He uses known voices. He doesn't bypass people's minds.
Hope you're hearing me.
He bypasses people's minds. He uses known voices. Look at Samuel. He had Eli calling him, but Eli said he wasn't the one. Hallelujah.
Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Glory to God.
God doesn't bypass people's minds.
In fact, here's what I say. In writing, they will write it in their language and in their understanding. That is the inspiration of God. Hallelujah.
They will write it with the words of their day. Use the expression of their day. It is the inspiration of God.
Hallelujah. That is to say, God works with what is available to man and through man himself. God works with what is available to man and what is available to the man. Did you see that?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. If the man is unlearned, God will walk with him like that. Like that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will inspire him to write in his language, which is Hebrew and Greek.
God will inspire them to write what? God will use their science.
How about hearing me?
Their science. And that is God. He doesn't baptize their head.
Glory to God.
He wouldn't do that. He would use what they have.
In fact, in their day, in their science, the science of their day was the fact that the sun goes round the earth. That was the science of their day. And yet, you find it in scripture that Joshua told the sun to stand still.
So they are,
No. In the science of their day, the sun goes round the earth. That's what they believe. I hope you are following. That was the science of their day. But today, they are, how can the sun go around? It's the earth that goes round the sun. Just because that is the science of their day. And God will work with it like that. You see that? So when Moses, when Joshua prayed for the sun to stand still, it is stand still. It stood still. Hallelujah. Well, that was the science of their day.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I'm following this. When in the real sense the sun is standing still, the earth that goes around the sun. When he prayed that the sun should stand still, what's too still? Was it not the earth? What's not the earth? It was the earth that stood. The earth didn't go around. But the science of that day was that the sun should stand. That was the science of that day. That is to say that in that day the sun didn't go down. It was just sun was. Amen. I hope you're following me. Hope you're following me.
God works with the science, works with what is available to man.
I showed us something that recently, Pastor Shego began to teach us, and then we saw it through scriptures, that even in the science of their day, they believe that they are thinking, they think from their stomach. Hallelujah. I was like, I never saw it. Hallelujah. But when he showed us through scriptures, I had to go and say, wow, I'm going to have to work with it. That is what was happening to them. Hallelujah! They believe man thinks from the stomach. The man speaking faculties in the stomach.
Hallelujah!
But there are as I say, you think from the stomach, you think with your head.
You don't know the generation that will come after you. Then they will not do a sign and say, no, you don't think from your head, you think from your leg.
And they will not look at some of the things you put on your Facebook wall and not be laughing at you.
Hallelujah! God will still work with their science.
Amen?
Amen?
You believe in God. They believe their mind is their stomach.
You believe in God.
Is it? Sir, did Jesus think like that? Should I show you through scriptures? Even Jesus said, yes. God will always walk with the signs of your day. You're not 100% God and 100% man. Hallelujah. Amen. All the signs of your day. That's what God will walk with. Hope you're following me. That is inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Thank God. So I don't know what the Are you inspired by the Holy Ghost?
This is the vision of the Holy Ghost. It has a lot of inconsistency with our world today. No. Don't get it with your world today first. Get it with your word then. Then I apply it to your word today. It's just as simple as that. Are you following me? Read it first in your word, then apply it to your word today. You will see that scriptures is for every generation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, God will inspire them to write in their language also. So, God, shall we say God inspired men to write in man's language. Therefore, we can say man's language, God adopted man's language. Did you see that as his language? In his inspiration. I hope you are following me. God adopted man's language as his language in his inspiration. Glory to God. Very vital. Very, very vital. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Though God knew that someday me, you and I will sit here today and read. Yet, the writers didn't know. The writers didn't see today coming. Hallelujah. Paul didn't see today coming. That somebody is going to read his epistle to the church at Colossae. He didn't see it coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, God will make use of what is available to them, which is their language, their mode of communication. Right? Hallelujah. He will make use of what is available to them, their language, and their mode of communication in writing, what we today will have to read. Hallelujah. Is that not wonderful? Glory to God. Hallelujah. God will not bypass people's brains. Always note that. Amen. Amen. Therefore, me today, to understand what they wrote, I must take the seat of the audience when they heard the word. I must take that seat of the audience. Right? Right? Hallelujah. Something I hope to do in this teaching is what I told us that we learn how to start reading by the scriptures in conversation. It's looking like I'm a bit pending it, but I'm trying to not to pend it in this teaching. But I see that we still have there some things about taking the seat of the first audience. We still need to yet to learn it well. Hallelujah. We need to learn that very well. Hallelujah. Because there are a lot of concepts in scriptures that we have to look and look into. I know last year during Revelation of God, we looked at redemption. I mean, look at redemption, we look at predestination, right? We still have to look at those things again and again. Predestination, redemption, election. Hallelujah. These are words that these are concepts that we need to really understand before we even start looking at some things in the epistles. Hallelujah. Very well. So understand the concept of words. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, I call what I just said now, taking the seat of the first audience, the first rule in interpretation. The first rule in interpretation. Hallelujah. First rule. In doing this, I must subject myself to what they subjected themselves to. I must subject myself to what they subjected themselves to. I must go back to their world. I must go back to their world. and understand how they read, how they use words rather. Hallelujah.
I must go back to that word. And understand how they use words.
Now the question will be, people say, I've heard someone say this, Bible study can't be this difficult. Just peruse. I've not heard people say that. Bible study can't be this difficult now.
That's gone off. What are you doing? That's gone off.
Hallelujah. Now, I let people say Bible study can't be this difficult. Just peruse. See. People say this because of ignorance. Or they call it ignorance. Laziness. Laziness, why people say this. People have time for a whole lot of things, but they don't have time to read their scriptures. People have time for a whole lot of other things, but they don't have time to listen to messages, to study the scriptures. The scriptures are just bedtime stories. To just do many, many, many more. No, that's not what scriptures are for. Bible study is worship. It's all about worship. Hallelujah. It's worship. Hallelujah. That time when you spend to study is worship.
Hallelujah. It's worship.
Hallelujah. It is labor. Bible study is labor. In Nehemiah 8:8, the Bible says, let's go to Nehemiah 8:8 quickly. It's labor. You must see that labor. And when you talk about it, it's labor. It's not labor that you just start, no, it's a labor right for time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Nehemiah 8:8, look at what Nehemiah did. Look at what Ezra did, brother. Nehemiah 8:8. It says, and so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading and gave the sense. That word to give the sense is the same word, is the word that when translated in the Greek will mean the same word as damenu. That is, Ezra had to explain language for Moses to them. You see that? Hallelujah. Ezra had to re-explain language. This is Ezra in the same, let's put it this way, Old Testament books. He still had to re-explain language because Ezra is, because at that point language has evolved, even in their world. This has evolved. Ezra actually existed,
Ezra, the time of Ezra was actually 300 before Christ. Hallelujah. He was born around 300 BC before Christ. He was born around 300 BC before Christ. And take note of this. Moses was born 1271 BC before Christ. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Sorry. Moses was 1391 BC. Moses. Okay, follow me. Hallelujah. Were you guys not aware that there's missing today? Were you guys not aware that there's missing today? The outage are going to pull off. Now you guys, after this section, you can pick it up. No. Section will end by 3, but this section will end by 1. Okay. So, you are who is going? Okay. Just send a message. You guys to do it by one. Hallelujah. So, Moses is actually 1391 BC, and Ezra is 300 BC. In fact, Ezra is 1,000 years after Moses. 1,000 years after Moses. Same Hebrew language, yet has evolved because of several captivity, as I've explained earlier. Oh, you're following me. So Ezra still had to give a sense to what Moses has said. And he still had to explain Moses.
Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So even in the same language, he still had to do a damn new of what was written to his audience. That will be a damn you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What does that show? It shows labor. Ezra had to cross language barriers. Hope you are following me. The same thing too with Jeremiah and Daniel. 70 years apart, Daniel had to read again Jeremiah's prophecy. 70 years apart. 70 years. That should be Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9. 70 years apart. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Verses 1 to 3, saying, the first year of Darius, the son of of the seed of the Medes, which was king over the realms of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books, number of years, of the word of the Lord, came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accompany 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So 70 years plus apart. Hallelujah. 70 years plus apart. That's prophecy. Did you hear that? 70 years plus apart in that prophecy. And yet, Daniel still had to understand. That word understand there is a word that is used for, he has to discern it. Hallelujah. In the same place where you get the word for, and I can be proved wrong because I've not really checked it. Hallelujah. Have to understand that it is. But that word is the word where you have to discern. Hallelujah. To discern. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So it shows labor. Labor. When Paul will be writing to Timothy, he will tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He tells him to study to show thyself approved to God. Be diligent to present yourself as one approved by God. Then call him a worker, a gatit laborer. So, Bible study is labor. Hope you are following me. Bible study is labor. Glory to God. It's labor. And in that labor, like we said earlier on, I must go back to their word majorly to understand how words are used. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in going back to their word, to look at how words are used, I must subject the words to the usage of, I must subject the words first to the usage in their world. The usage in their world. Hallelujah. The usage in their world. And majorly, they were written in Hebrew, right? And in New Testament, in Greek. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in the four Gospels and Epistles, we'll find the explanation and application to the text of Scriptures. Right? Yes, written in another language. Hope you understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah. In the Catholic books are written in Hebrew.
will find the application, the installation and application in the four Gospels and a dear pieces. Right? Now you are about to drop. Yes, the explanations are here, but here comes another glitch in another language break.
Hallelujah. Therefore, I hope you're following me. Therefore, my job is to read one word into another word. Remember I said I would classify it into two words, right? Hebrew and Greek. I'll read one word into another word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Then also to my word today. And find out the interpretation before I can have the application. I must read it first. Hallelujah. To find the interpretation in my word. And then now apply. Remember this, I said, will be an introduction to answering to this question. A teaching that will start maybe, I'm thinking when to start it. sometime this year. So we want to answer a lot of questions in our world today.
Hallelujah. A lot of questions. Hallelujah. In our world today. Glory to God. Questions like COVID-19, is it from God? Questions like, should a believer do A, X, Y, Z?
So, some of those questions we want to answer in our world today. Things that are happening in our world. I will find answers to them in the scriptures. No, that will be interpretation. I mean, that will be application. But we'll first of all find what is the interpretation. That's the reason for all the sets of scriptures you're looking at like this. Or all these concepts of words. Because they will come very much alive. Hallelujah.
So we are having understanding the gospel, but it's yet an introduction. That's what we do, right? It's always an introduction. Major teaching comes in first. Whenever we have any major teaching, that sets us for what we do in the course of the year. We started off during GPLR and we'll continue into, you know, just like that. Amen. I hope I'm trying. Amen. Therefore, my job. Okay. Well, what's that? Okay. In the days of Jesus, they had the Septuagint, right?
In the days, I said that earlier. They had the Septuagint. So Jesus used the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. Yet he also had to go back to the Hebrew itself. Also, hallelujah. We still have to use the Hebrew text. I will see that. Hallelujah.
For some of you who have Bible concordance or who have your Bible that have central reference, mine doesn't have, but I use a central reference. You see things like maybe you see a word. One of the words I've seen is the word, is it paraclete or which one? Oh, then I didn't really know. You see LXX. LXX is the word Septuagint. It's how the Septuagint is called. Do you understand? Septuagint. Hallelujah. Not for today, not for next year, not for next few years, but just that you help as a study and you go through your central reference. You just see it. Hallelujah. But majorly, these days I don't use central reference. Stop it. I don't even look at it. Amen. But, in fact, most times when I read, let me tell you guys what I do. My Bible doesn't have central reference, but you have references maybe at the end of every verse.
I know I have counseled like up to people. There are some, mostly in my scriptures, my Bible, you see me putting my own reference in scripture, in my own Bible. I don't know it. Because I've been taught how to do reference.
Hallelujah. So when I get it, I know this is leading me to this. This is leading me to that. Help my own study too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So where were we? Huh? Where were we? Okay, also, Jesus has to use Hebrew, the text too also. Hallelujah. Because at the point of translating, words can lose its meaning. Therefore, I must go back and reread it again. Because the words in the Greek, which is the words in the epistles and the four gospels, have their dictionary in the Hebrew text. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. They have their words, original meaning from the Hebrew text. That would be their dictionary. Therefore, I must go back and reread again. Hallelujah. For example, why did I put this here?
Not possible. I will go back and repeat again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Most times, even in our world today, we bastardize the use of some words.
In our world today also, we bastardize the use of some words. A lot. So, as a Bible student, I should go back again. I hope you are hearing me. Go back again to see how words are used. Amen. Amen. Remember, I just said two things. Words can lose its meaning. Right? Or, let me not say losing its meaning. Maybe at the point of translation. It might lose the full weight of the word. Hallelujah. Part of the word will be the word gospel. You are genuine. Hallelujah. You know, when you get to the four gospels, you hear you are genuine, and what comes to mind is good news. Right? Right? But, you know, yes, it's good news. But that is not the full weight of that word, good news. I mean, the full weight of that word, gospel. Another one we've seen before now is the word redemption. Right? Another one we're going to look at now is the word blessing. Blessing. Now that word blessing, or to bless. Blessing. If we look at Ephesians. Come on, Ephesians 1. Is the word. Verses 3. It says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavens in Christ. So when we read here, spiritual blessings in the heavens. You know, today in our world, that one has been bastardized. Eh? I remember years back, and I have to read this text, I would say, he has blessed us with spiritual blessings in the heavens. But that means where the blessings are is in the realms of the Spirit. The next time we're going to drive in the realm of the Spirit. They are in the heavens. So my job is to preach to the natural. And what is faith? Faith is a transformer that transforms it from the realms of the Spirit to the physical. You are a good lecturer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're just a wonderful lecturer. But that's not it. That's not what it's saying. Hallelujah. Today in our world, when people hear the word blessing, what comes to mind is material blessing. What comes to mind is a good job. Oh, when you hear God bless you, when you hear something, God bless you, what comes to mind is, oh my God, I received that money. They now attach money to bless. Hallelujah. They hear God bless you. And they say, oh God bless me with a good job. God bless me with a good house. With a big house. With a big house.
All this that comes around is material prosperity. But is that what blessing actually is? In fact, when you use the word blessing, the word uses the word eulogia.
Or eulogia. Now, it's on the compound word. Means none. The compound word of
Lego E. Which means to, it means good. So the eulogia means to speak good of. Jesus said, hallelujah, to speak good of. Yes, that is what it is.
To speak good of, to speak well of. Hallelujah, to speak well of. E-U-O-L-O-G-I-A. Eulogia. To speak good of. Now, remember, it has a shade of word. I didn't capture it in my notes. Used for God. The same theology, but a shade of it. Used for God. Now, we just say spoken good of is God. Blessed be God. Okay, but
If you, that one is,
we're going to see that shortly when we go back to the dictionary. Let's call it dictionary or to the original text, right? Now, when you hear that word, blessed be God and our Father, our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us. Now, we use the word spoken well of. It's not wrong. Hallelujah. It's not wrong. That's what it is. To speak well of what that word, you know that doesn't carry the full weight of the word blessed. Now, it's from the Hebrew word barak. 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 Barak is also, it also implies to speak good of, right? It also means to show acceptance or to be accepted.
You see that? It used to also show acceptance or to be accepted. To show acceptance or to be accepted.
For example, it's never used for anything material, both in the epistles and where? I hope you're following me. It's never used. Is there anything material for material? No, 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 no. In fact, the first time Barak is used in scripture, it is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28. Let's see that. Genesis chapter 1, 27 to 28. Genesis 1, 27. Now it says, God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created him, male and female created him. Oh, first of all, first time it uses Genesis 1, 22, sorry, not 27. But let's look at 27 to 28, because I don't want to get into 22, and I'm going to say some things that
we have not yet gotten to the point for. Amen.
Amen.
But I hope that today I will get into some of those details. Especially the use of days. You know, let me see if I'm close to it. Okay, I'm not yet close to it. Especially the use of the word days. Maybe in the second section we'll look at it. The use of the word days. You know, and there's just this notion that people have that when God created the earth, good, that on the fourth day, God is the fourth day this morning. Let there be light. And so after the earth and called it a light day and the darkness called night. And God said, called the evening and the morning the fourth day. So God now goes, first day is finished, let it have second day. So Tuesday, no. The use of the word day in Genesis is actually actually imagery. Are you hearing me? Now because what he created in day one was something created in day two. Look at it very well. Amen. It is the same thing. What's going on in day two? It's the same thing. So, the use of day. I believe God that in the coming years we'll be able to explore that well. Hallelujah. It's imagery. And that is why the seventh day was imagery. I hope you're following me. What's imagery? That's what I was trying to communicate to us during Believers Convention, but I was trying to watch my words. And follow well. Amen. Like as I said, I know it's imagery, but I'm waiting until a pastor teaches it first. As I engage myself.
Hallelujah.
And then after he teaches it, I will give myself 3 years.
Amen. Imagine I don't jump before.
So I'll put it. Hallelujah. But the use of this is imagery. Look at what he created in the first day. Look at what he created in the third day. In the fourth day. Come on. Do that as an assignment. Read it. There you go. So let's continue. But you know, we just concern ourselves with first day and sixth day.
First day. Let it be light. Because light out of darkness. Right? What is light out of darkness? How is light already? And God said, let there be light. I am light. Where will it shine? In the darkness. Darkness was used for man. The earth without the heaven. So God plant his light in the earth, right? Let us make man in our image.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have the same thing. just so now we don't have to look at it again. Let's investigate days. Right? That is why we are Bible students. We don't have to investigate what days are really in scriptures. But that's not what we are looking at. Go back to Genesis 1:27. So I said I do want to go back just now. I don't start saying what I'm not supposed to say in this year or next year. Amen. So 1:26. But we'll begin to look at them little by little till we get there. Hallelujah. Now 27. They got quoted man in his image and quoted in them male and female. And God blessed them. Did you see that? Man in his image he blessed. Come on. And said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Verse, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you are with me. So, he used the word God blessed them for God's creation. Man in the image of God. Is that he used the word blessed for man. And what is the blessed towards? Come on. Be fruitful and multiply. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's used to show acceptance. What God accepts is man in his image. Do you see that? What God accepts is what? Man in his image. Will God speak well of him too? Yes. Did you see that? Hallelujah. But it's used to show acceptance first. So God speaks well of the man in his image. Hallelujah. In Genesis 2:1-3. Look at it, 1-3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended the work which he had made, and God rested in the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. God blessed the seventh day. Hallelujah. So it is used for God's day. God, what will God do on his day? He will speak well of it. Did you see that? God blessed it. Hope you're following me. He will speak well of it. Glory to God. He will speak well of it. In Genesis 5:2. Male and female created there. Okay, let me start from verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. This is the book of the genealogy. The Genesis of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. So the Adam here will be humanity, right? Male and female created them and blessed them. You see that? Blessed them. And called their names Adam. And called their name what? Come on. Called their name what? Are you reading what I'm reading? Come on. Called their name Adam in the day which he made, which they were created. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He blessed them. So it's used for God's creation. Right? Chapter 9 verse 1 is used for Noah. Chapter 9 verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. So it's used for Noah towards God's task in the earth. Did you see that? Right? Replenish the same task you find in Genesis 1:28. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Replenish the earth. So it's nothing material. No. Hallelujah. Refill the earth. In verse 26. Genesis 9:26. Now what it says? It says, And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem and Cain, and Canaan shall be his servant. Did you see that? Blessed be the Lord that is used for God. Hallelujah. It's used for God. When he said, blessed be the God. Right? It implies to hallow. It's used for worship. Hallelujah. It's used for worship of God. So when you get to Ephesians and hear, blessed be God. Right? Blessed be God is used for what? Hallow. How you hallow God for worship of God. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Thus far, we read blessed as God speaking well, right? Acceptance, right? Glory to God. Acceptance. And it is geared towards what? God's task in the earth. Did you see that? Hope you are following me. got stacks in here. Nothing material at all. Nothing material or wealth. Glory to God. So when I now get to Genesis 12, I now read from Abraham. Abraham, verses 1. And the Lord said to Abraham, get out of thy country, from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Hallelujah. I will make thy name great. Read that with Genesis 1:27. With Genesis 12:2, Genesis 1:27, Genesis 9:1, I think Noah. It's when he says, I will make thee a great nation. I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee, I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will make thee a great nation. A great nation. What was the task in Genesis 1? Come on. What was the task? What was the task? The task in Genesis 1 is what?
Replenish the earth, the nation.
Yeah. I'll make it, it's the same. Hallelujah. What we are following this? It's the same. It's the same. Glory to God. It's the same. So Abraham's blessing wasn't wealth. Rather, it was towards what? God's task in the earth. Genesis 1:28. Great nation. Make thy name great. Hallelujah. So the blessing isn't connected to wealth. In fact, Abraham was wealthy before God called him. Abraham was wealthy before God called him. In Genesis 12 verse 5, that's in Genesis 12, look at verse 5. And Abraham, when God called Abraham, look at verse 5, Abraham took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they have, and that they gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth into the land of Canaan, into the land of Canaan, into the land of Canaan they came. Did you see that? So he used the word souls, slaves. This is that souls they've gathered. You know a wealthy man by his slaves. I hope you are following me. By his slaves. That means Abraham was wealthy. He left Haran a wealthy man. I hope you are following me. He left Haran a wealthy man. So the blessing wasn't material. He was already materially blessed. I hope you are following me. Hallelujah. He was wealthy already before God called him. You will find the same blessing of Abraham in Isaac. In Isaac. Hallelujah. So that means the blessing was towards God's task in the earth. Not material blessing. Towards task. So you will not find the same blessing in Isaac, not Ishmael. Not the son, not the children of Keturah. Okay, but you will find it in who? In Isaac. Hope you're following me. Why? The word Barak, come on, the word Barak, he said, which is the word blessed, was used for Ishmael. The same word blessed was used for Ishmael. Look at that in Genesis 17. I have to show us that first. It used for Ishmael. Genesis 17 verse 19. Into 20. And God said to Sarah, verse 20, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he begat, and I will make him a good nation. Now, here God is speaking of him and his descendants. You see that? God was talking about him and his descendants. God is speaking ahead of time. Hope you are following me. But the blessing of Abraham will be found in Isaac. You see that? Hallelujah. So God was just speaking ahead of time concerning his descendants. That he will become a nation too. But when he speaks about the blessing of Abraham, which you will find in Genesis 12 verse 3, you will find it in who? Isaac. Genesis 25:11. acceptance. Glory to God. Acceptance.
So the opposite of this is what? Cause. Right? The meaning of blessing is cause. Cause doesn't mean you are swearing for the blessing. Cause in their word means a rejection. This is a rejection. The only thing to speak evil from God, no. It means a rejection, and I will say nothing about you. This is that? I will say nothing about you.
Glory to God. So when you find your first man that was cursed out of God's presence, is who?
Cain. What happened to Cain? But what did you find concerning Cain? He was cursed, but yet Cain was very wealthy. He was righteous. Ishmael was very wealthy. So it's got something to do with God. Cain was cursed, but yet Cain had descendants, and Cain was wealthy. So the curse has got nothing to do with material. It's got nothing to do, the blessing has nothing to do with material. It has nothing to do with material. I hope you are hearing me. You know what I say? You are blessed this week.
Some of you don't understand what the blessing is. You are thinking that I am blessed this week. You are thinking of, oh, I'm going to, money is going to hit my account from nowhere. Ah! Pentecostal, bro. Pentecostal. Hallelujah.
But that's not what he's talking about. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me.
Cannot you do that? Cannot you do that? In fact, have I thought of the Christian faith and material world? Eh? I'm trying to do that.
Hallelujah. This teaching will lead us to that. Hallelujah. I'm trying to do that. Christian faith and material world. Eh? My head's coming. And I'm not talking about material. Believers prospering material. I have to teach that. Hallelujah.
How to prosper materially. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's something you just have to learn. And then, explaining in a Christian faith, something you have to learn. I don't know, because my timetable is very fixed. I don't know how I can place it. Even if I pray, we'll have that time to place it. My timetable is so fixed. From now till August, I'm this time.
Amen. They give me more days to do teaching things.
More days. Amen. So let's continue. So Ishmael's sugar was wealthy. Hallelujah. But the blessing of Abraham in Genesis 12:3, you find it in Genesis 25 for Isaac. Genesis 25. Let's go to Genesis 25. Verse 11. What does it say? He says, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac dwelt by the well of Lahar-Lod. Hallelujah. Then he went ahead to tell us about the descendant of Ishmael. You see, Ishmael too became a great nation. A great nation. Hallelujah. So God blessed Isaac. Glory to God. Look at chapter 26, verse 3. Sojourn in the land that I will, and I will be with you and bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto thy father, unto Abraham thy father. This that? And I will make thy seed to multiply at the start of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So, we see that same blessing of Abraham where in Isaac, and it will be towards the gospel. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God, towards the gospel. And what does he call Isaac here? Isaac is called the son of Abraham. Hallelujah. He's a son. Or Isaac is a son. Or is Abraham's son. Yet in Genesis 22:1, he's called the only son. Only son. Genesis 22:1, he says, and it came to pass after these things, God put Egyptian Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, I am. He said, now, he said, take thy son, thy only son, Isaac. This is that only son. So the concept of only son again comes in. Isaac is not the only child of Abraham. Abraham had, at this point, had Ishmael. Right? Right? He had Ishmael. But in scriptures, Isaac is called Abraham's son. Yet, he's called the only son. This is where John will pick the word from only begotten for Jesus. This is where John will pick it, the only begotten son. Only begotten son. Why? So you, why would John do that? John will pick that so that you see the similarity between Jesus and Isaac. What is that similarity? They were uniquely born. I hope you are following me. Uniquely born. A miracle at birth. A miracle at birth. A woman who was not supposed to give birth conceived. Sarah at an old age, when she was not supposed to give birth, in fact, Paul put it this way, she had passed the time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Abraham, the Bible, I mean, Paul would say Abraham being, Sarah had passed the time of birth. Hallelujah. She has gone beyond that time. But yes, she received strength in that old age to conceive. What are you following me? She received strength in old age to conceive. Uniquely, it's miracle. Hallelujah. The same way to a virgin who was not supposed to give birth, conceive. A virgin who knew no man, was not supposed to give birth, conceive. Miracle. Did you see the miracle? Hallelujah. So what John did was to use the word only begotten to show you it has happened with her. Hallelujah. A woman who is not supposed to give birth has given birth. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. Amen. Amen. Yet, him being called the only son is to show that he will follow the footstep of his father. So it's used in two ways. He will follow the footstep of his father. He's the only son because of what is something we're going to see. He will follow the footsteps of his father. Who is his father? Father is Abraham. Abraham, who is Abraham? A prophet. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Genesis 20:17. Abraham is a prophet. That implies he will be a prophet also. That is the right of the firstborn. I remember that during GPLR, I told us that culture and history is important in understanding theology. Did I say that to us? Very important. So in their culture, they have the right of the firstborn, the Bekora. It's called the firstborn right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that existed in their culture, the Near Eastern culture. So the right of the firstborn, or the firstborn right, is the one who inherits the father's office. The father's office, the father's position. Hallelujah. He has the right of the double portion. The right of the double portion is what Moses would not employ to show you office. They have the right, in their culture, they have the right of the double portion. That is, a man gives birth to 5 children. If he dies, his property that is shared into 6. The first five takes, then the last one remaining will go to the firstborn. It's called the double portion. So Moses would now pick that culture to teach, using that double portion to teach office. This is that. So when Elijah was going with Elijah and saying, give me the double portion. Jonathan, he asked for the double portion. He wasn't asking for double portion of anointing. Give me two. No. Hallelujah. When I was like, what do you do? I'll do that. He said, no. When he says, give me the double portion, what comes to mind? That is the Bekora. Hallelujah. I hope you're following me. The Bekora is used for office. And I said this to us years back, and I'm doing it again now. Hallelujah. Years back, that we remember as far back as Psalm 11. Remember? And explain this to us. So, when you have double portion, don't you use to give me 2 times your anointing? No.
That's what he's talking about. He's saying the double portion will be office. Okay, but the office. Which office? The office of the prophet. The office where Elijah functioned. So when he says, ask for it, there's a double portion. Important. And what he's telling you, see people you have. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me.
So the moment he shouts, the moment that happened, every of the prophets that were around saw it. Glory to God. And when they saw it, they knew that this guy has gotten their office. Hope you are following me. They knew Elisha has gotten the office. Glory to God. So it's called the right of the firstborn. It's an office. It's not food.
I'm saying this now because of where I'm going to. I'm just thinking about the blessing, but I have to talk things to talk about the rest of the process. Hallelujah. I'm getting Jacob. Hallelujah. So, in getting to Jacob and Esau, can you see where I'm going to? Jacob and Esau.
Now, in their culture, the firstborn, the right of the firstborn goes to the first child. Do you see that? It goes to the first child. So,
something we'll see in the second section is the fact that God uses their culture. But what, how does God use their culture? He reworks their culture. Their culture will be the firstborn. God reworks the culture and says, no, it's not the firstborn child, but actually this is one who is. Hope you are following me. God reworks their culture.
The right of the firstborn is not the right for the first child.
No. In their culture, the first child that takes everything. Right? That takes the office. That takes that, that is the hair of the father. That is the one that the Greek would now call the heels. I hope you are following me. The hair. The hairless apparel. Hope you are following that. Now, in their culture, if a king is to that, if a king, not just to that, if a king gives death, he takes the first child. That is their culture. Here is that culture. He takes the first child and hands over the first child to tutors. You know what that means? To train him in the act of becoming a king. See your colleagues? So when that one grows up, he comes that he saw the hair apparent. What are you colleagues? He saw the hair apparent. So when the father dies, the son takes over. He is the head. He is the bekora. He wants to take over that office of kingship. If the father is the king. Do you understand? So they have that in their culture. Now God is now, God, what God does is that God rewards their culture. Right? He rewards it. Hallelujah.
Hope you are following me. He uses their culture, reworks it well. So how will he rework it now? He will say no. It is not the right of the office. It's not to the firstborn child. Rather, the firstborn child, I mean the right of that office will be to the one who believes. Yeah, I hope you are following me. So the best right is for believing, not for what? Because of the first child. Amen. Hope you are following that. Hope you are following that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when you get to Isaac and Jacob, you see that in Exodus, I mean, you know, Exodus, Genesis 25, verse 27. Come here with me. And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. When you call cunning hunter, it means wise hunter. A man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Just a normal guy. And Esau loved, and Isaac loved Esau because he beat it of his venture. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright, Bekora. Did you see that? Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What shall it profit? I mean, for, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob swear. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. You see that? By words. You see that he sold it by words. That is, he despise. When he says sold birthright, that means, in the way I would say, birthright is office. Right? Right? That means he spoke ill of that office of his father. His office, he spoke wrong. He spoke bad of it. What the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6 will say, let's get to Hebrews 12 6. Put your hands in Genesis 25, get to Hebrews 12 6. Hebrews 12 verse 6. 16, sorry. Why did I get to 16? 16. Hebrews 12, 16. Are you there? It says, lest there be any fornicator of profane person as Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. He called him a profane person. He called him a what? A profane person. Now, that word profane is what you find in, put your hands in that Hebrews, what you find in Genesis 25:34, he said, and thus Esau despised his birthright. That was how he sold it. He despised it. So the writer of Hebrews say he was a profane person. Now the word profane is from the Greek word bibios or bibilos. B-E-B-E-L-O-S. Bibilos. Is this for idle words? Idle words. To speak idle words. In 1 Timothy 1:9. Take this down. Let's be fast. 1 Timothy 1:9. 1 Timothy 4:7. 1 Timothy 6:20. 2 Timothy 2:16. It is for unbelief to speak carelessly, to despise. Showing us that Genesis 25:27-34, Esau spoke ill of the birthright. That is, he spoke ill of the office of his father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we said the word birthright is the office, right? So for birthright, you find references to birthright in Genesis 4:33. That is the right of the firstborn. Deuteronomy 21:17. Deuteronomy 21:17. 1 Chronicles 5:1-2. Genesis 27:36-40. For you to know that it is not material blessing. In Genesis 27. It was not material blessing. Genesis 27. When Esau came in after Jacob had been blessed by Isaac, look at verses 27. I'm talking about 36. And he said, it is not he rightly named Jacob, for he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Did he take away his birthright? Did he take away his birthright? Eh? No. Jacob didn't take away Esau's birthright. Esau spoke ill of the birthright. Right? He despised it. You know, a man who is wrong will always seek the word's approval. Just want people to just compensate him. But he sold it. And behold, now he taketh away my blessing. He didn't. He only just went. I hope you're following me. He despised the office. And he said, thou, look at what he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Did you see that? Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Look at what, and he said, verse 7, and Isaac answered and said to him, Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. Did you see that? This office, did you see that? So it's not, you see that it's an office thing. I've made him thy Lord. And all his brethren I have given to him for servants. and with corn and with wine I've sustained him. And what shall I do to thee now, my son? So if it was money, I'd have told him, okay, I have just managed this house, right? But that was not what he said. And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me even also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And I think his father answered and said to him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. But by sword shalt thou live. And thou shalt do what? Thou shalt do what? Serve thy brother. You see that? And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break this yoke, break his yoke off thy neck. Do you see that? So the blessing was not material. It wasn't material. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he couldn't bless him because the blessing was already with Jacob. Hallelujah. In fact, furthermore, to make you know it's not material, in Genesis 33, when Jacob finally meets with Esau, I'll quickly read from verse 1 through to 9. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. Remember, I told you men are used to what? To show your wealth, right? Right? Slaves are used to. So he came with 400 men. And he divided the children unto, and he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two housemaids. And he put the housemaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. Who is bowing now? Who is bowing now? Jacob. Did you see that? Who is bowing now? Jacob is the one bowing now. Let's see something. Who has the office? Jacob. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, and he fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And lifted up his eyes and saw the women. Listen, you know, this is Esau. He saw the women and children and said, are these with thee? And he said, this, and and he said, the children which God had graciously given thy servant. Did you see that? Thy servant. That's sweet. You see that all this bowing down and servancy is because of something. Let's read. Read verse 9. Verse 8. And he said, what meanest thou by all this? By all this drove which I met. And he said, these are to find grace in thy sight of my Lord. This is Jacob speaking. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. Did you see that? Keep what you get. Leave what you have, hold it. I have more than enough. That is to say, he's showing you that all that Jacob had is who? His family. Did you see that? Right? His family, his wife, and his concubine, and their children. That's all he had. Hallelujah. I want you to now hand it over to his brother. He said, no, I have enough. Whatever you mean you have enough, you mean I have wealthy. I'm wealthy. I have men now. Hallelujah. I have slaves. So Esau was wealthier. Jacob wasn't. As wealthy as Esau. Esau is who you will call a wealthy man in the country. Like you have today. Hope you are following me. That's really for all the bowing, all the whatever. God is wealthy. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God is wealthy. Hope you are hearing me. He's wealthy. So you see that the blessing wasn't money. Eh? In fact, when Jacob left, Jacob suffered. With all the blessing, he went to Laban's house. He worked 7 years. Now has carried over for 7 years. Amen. He suffered. And he carried blessing. No, the blessing was an office. The office of the prophet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we begin to round up. So the blessing wasn't for anything material. Because you wouldn't even find that with Jacob. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
goal of God. So when you now get to Exodus 4:22, Israel is now being called the son of God. And this is based on a promise to Jacob. Israel being a son.
Being a son. Israel being, which is Jacob, being the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. What will flow? When you use the word son, firstborn. Look at Exodus 4:22. He used the word son, firstborn. My Bekora. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. We were here earlier on, but let's look at it. Exodus 4:22. He says, thou shalt say to Pharaoh, thus said the Lord of Israel. I mean the Lord God. Israel is my son, even my Bekora. Did you see that? Even my firstborn. Did you see that? Israel. This will be because of the blessing, the office that Jacob occupied. Hallelujah. What are following me? The office that Jacob occupied. Based on that, Israel as a nation is called God's Bekora, God's firstborn. Hallelujah. Look at God. I'm thinking about blessing, and I spoke a bit about the firstborn, right? Something I forgot to mention is Jacob's own children. He had 12. Normally it should have been Reuben, first child, but it was not Reuben. It is who? It is Joseph. Hallelujah. We'll see all that as we proceed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It will be Joseph. So, that is just the right of the firstborn. It's part of what I told you to read. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, 1 to 2, you see. Hallelujah. Genesis 43, 33, you see there. The right of the firstborn. So, Israel being the son of God, and the first, God's firstborn, will be based on the promise to Jacob, Israel. Hallelujah. And that, remember we say, firstborn will be an office. When you have firstborn, that's right. So it's not for who? It's not for the first child, but for the one who believes, right? As we've seen between Cain and Abel, it was not Cain, it was Abel who Cain slew. Right? Then Cain Seth. I hope you are following me. It is not Abraham. It's not Ishmael, nor the children of Keturah. It is Isaac. It is not Esau. It is Jacob. It is not Reuben. It is Joseph. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. The same way we will now find that in Israel as a nation. And their role, remember, is an office, the role of the prophet to preach the gospel. So that means Israel being God's firstborn is not for national. Take note, I said it during believers' conversion. I'm saying it again. This is not to mean that they had a national redemption or national salvation. No, it's not national salvation. And that's what we need to know. We're just reiterating what God has said to their fathers, to their father Jacob. I hope you're following me. Who is Israel? Glory to God. Is Israel. So, that becomes their tax in the earth. That becomes their tax in the earth. The gospel. To preach the gospel. And Moses will call them priests. We'll call them priests. We'll call them prophets. Why? Because of the office of Jacob. Hope you're following that. Eh? Something we'll see. I pray I'm able to do it in this series. Is the fact that Jesus, now, it's handed over, right? Right? Now, the firstborn or the Bekora will be the one who believes, right? Will take over that office. And the task is in the gospel. Jesus is called the firstborn, right? Come on, the firstborn from the dead, right? What is the task? In the nations of the world. Hallelujah. How about the nations of the world? So where are we found? We are found in Him. Glory to God. So look at what just happened. Jesus will give the same instructions. I hope to say that tomorrow as we continue teaching on apostolic order. Just to say also to His apostles, His chosen one, they believe. So they believe, they now have the blessing. What will be the blessing in the nations of the world?
Reaching that building, come on, this is, right, the mission of God. So the task is the same. The mission is the same. Glory to God. So we are in the same practice as the world. Glory to God. How are you following that? We are in the same office. The office of the firstborn in Christ. Amen.
Hope you are following me. It's the same office. It's the same task. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, it's 1 o'clock already. The next section.